for. Here's a good game. Arena Ball.
You are listening to AFL Tonight, presented by ArenaFan.com.
It is the playoffs. That's right, the playoffs. And unlike what I said last week, it's not week 18 last week. It's week 18 this week. And as I've said before, what does that mean? The playoffs. The playoffs are upon us. Anything can happen. Everybody starts at zeros. But with some of the things that have happened, it can be very, very interesting. And wanted to bring back Bon Jovi, even though it was hardly used at all this year within the ESPN promos. And mind you, there was no Mike and Mike. There was only... Oh. See? That's how not memorable these people were. But at least supposedly Ari Wolf is coming back for the playoffs. That's what we like to hear. Probably one of the best announcers ever for arena football, all the way back to his days with the Albany Firebirds. And a lot more to talk about, but we're just going to go ahead and get on with this week's show. We do have a lot of stuff, too. I mean, we have the final updates for the regular season ending. Magic 8 Ball. We have our scoring update. Can be very... the information... Stats overload this week, people, but the main thing is playoffs. We have our head coaching carousel. That's exactly what it is. That was a circus. Some of these head coaches actually did coach like clowns this year. And some possible clowns that could also be joining the unemployment ranks. And probably one very surprising head coach. So, to some of you. Surprising that they are going to, that he is going to be staying around for at least another year. First and foremost, what we're going to be getting to is, you know, it's old news to us. Obviously, thanks to the people over at the Sports Business Journal, the league finally got around to announcing the Virgin Mobile Arena Bowl 22, sponsored by everybody in the Mitsubishi division. Blah, 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 blah. As we mentioned last week, there will be some virgins in New Orleans, and on the phone, sorry, on the phones, but no big deal, you know. It's signage. There's going to be patches. There's going to be, you know, specifically in the press release, it was stated that it will be called specifically Virgin Mobile Arena Bowl 22. Virgin Mobile Arena 20. Can you see it now? And welcome! And welcome to Virgin Mobile Arena Bowl 22. I am blah, 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 blah. And we'll be right back to Virgin Mobile Arena Football, Arena Bowl 22 after these messages. Yeah. A little bit of overkill. You know, it's sometimes it is done properly. Citibank, you know, as we mentioned prior, Rose Bowl, etc. You know, no, there's no big deal with this information that we know about. Something we already know. Leagues ticked off that it was leaked. Oh, boo-hoo! But then, of course, they got around to making the announcement. Oh, what was it, about a week or so later, so... Blah, blah, blah to them. Either way, welcome to the... I don't think they're calling it... Is anything ever... I don't think anything was mentioned about the Mitsubishi spiel that they had had. So I'm looking at the press release, and if you head over to the league website, it is, you know, it is specifically, you know, it's, you have to go over to, it was, shoot you over to ArenaBowl.com now. Agreement marks the first time in the league history that the entitlement of its championship game has been secured. The game will be referred to as Virgin Mobile Arena Bowl 22 in all league communications. They're going to be doing some sort of brand placement where they'll be doing something within the fourth quarter where you get to text something. And what happens if you don't have a Virgin Mobile telephone? Oh, well. And it doesn't mention how long the... See, it's a text-to-voting thing that they're going to be doing. It's probably going to be for the fans' interaction with the player of the game. Let's see. No. Da-da-da-da. No. Okay, they're going to get signage during the entire playoffs. As a title sponsor, will be featured on turf squares and on air for the championship game. Yada, yada, yada. Anything else? Nope. Goodbye. let's get something to more important here. Cross this one off the list. And it's gone. It's gone. Well, the all arena teams, the rookie teams were announced, but there were some, when we saw the teams and for the all arena teams, first team and second team, there are always a lot of questions, and I have seen fans who are just in total uproar about some of the choices that have occurred for this year, you know, not only for first team, but for second team. Some of the stuff that I actually agree with, some of the stuff that the guys here over at AFL Tonight just do not totally agree with in any way, shape, or form. And a lot of it I agree with. First and foremost, and the basics have had to do with really the first arena team. And if you haven't seen it, I can quickly go over it. Quarterback Matt D'Orazio, well deserved, considering I think he is probably one of the first, and something we'd have to check, but I think he's actually the first quarterback to be named to the first team All Arena after starting the year as a backup quarterback. Plus, as mentioned, and if you haven't heard it before, he is a steal for what he is, you know, for the amount he has produced for the percentage that he's been paid. And if you haven't heard of that, what I'm talking about the salaries. We did the top 10 salaries a couple weeks back. You can go ahead and check in our show notes, and it will tell you specifically which weeks were for that. It's a great, great listen. You know, there is information out there on the web that does talk about it, and I would think that we here at AFL Tonight would be that number one source. Fullback Marlon Jackson, totally agree with. Here's where, you know, well, let me read the rest of this. Will Rabidin for center. Phil Bogle, this is O-line. Martin Bibla, D-line. Henry Taylor, Aaron McConnell, C. Weatherington. Let's see. Can you see, Capper? Yeah. Middle linebacker, Steve Watson. Dewan Alfonso gets the... Oh, Mac, sorry. Steve Watson gets the Mac linebacker. Dewan Alfonso gets the Jack linebacker. DBs go to Billy Parker, Dennison Robinson, Marquise Floyd, and kicker goes to AJ Hoagland, which I totally, totally agree with on this one. Here's where it gets a little sketchy as far as what we are concerned. Wide receivers. Okay, second team wide receivers went to Kenny Higgins of Orlando, Damon Harrell of Chicago, and Otis Amy of Cleveland. That's one sore spot. The first team went to Huey Whitaker. Okay, well deserved. 11th in receptions, 5th in points, 10th in touchdowns. Chichi Tolliver, out of the top 12 for receptions, 3rd in yards, and 12th in TDs. Okay. Kenny Higgins, mind you, could question it. He was out of the running. He was out of the top 12 for receptions, 9th for yards, and 7th for TDs. Otis Amy, yes, he was out of the top 12 for receptions, but he was 12th in yards and 2nd in TDs. Now, it gives you an idea that maybe he should have been on the first team. Now, one of the most glaring omissions is Derek Lee. 142 receptions, first. 1,762 yards, first. 32 TDs. Okay, sure he's 11th. Put that all together, though, why is Derek Lee not on first-team All-Arena or second-team All-Arena? Down here for Damon Harrell, Kenny Higgins is an up-and-rising star. Where's Derek Lee? This is probably one of the biggest atrocities, but then again, the first and second teams have always had problems in the years past. You know, look at the quarterbacks. You know, this year's quarterbacks, okay, Matt DiRazio, Joe Germain. I have no problem with those. But wide receivers really are a sore spot this year. You know, I'm sure it would be, oh, you can't put everybody in, you know, that we want to. There's only 6 spots. Okay. Put the 6 most deserving. You know, Otis Amy, I really think he should be a first team. I think he should knock down T.T. Tolliver. But Derek Lee, you know, the other one is Chris Jackson, by the way. Here we're going to go T.T. Tolliver and Chris Jackson. Chris Jackson, okay, leave him. But Derek Lee, I don't know what the voting was offhand. It just needs to be done. This is one of those things that really grinds my groin. No, it's, what is it? Was it grinds my groin or grinds my gears?
Thanks, Tom. You know what really grinds my gears?
Oh, okay. So we were almost close. And by the way, my name is it's not Tom, it's Tim, okay?
And that, people, is what grinds my gears. Tom?
Tim, please get it straight. There's not much to know. It is what it is, and League Awards into the shredder. Okay. coaching carousel. And some of these are expected. Some of them are waiting to be coming, but so far nothing to the fact, you know. Anyways, what am I talking about? Well, this is what I'm talking about. Doug Kay is out. You know, him and the Destroyers have come to the conclusion that he is not going to be picked up for 2009 because he just has been really, really crappy. Even though this is 1 year removed from Doug Kay bringing the under 500 Columbus Destroyers to Arena Bowl 21. Overall record of 18-30 with the Destroyers. I think it probably was time for a change. You know, they were 8-8 the first year. He did not make it to the playoffs, but then he makes it to the playoffs and to the Arena Bowl the following year, and then he does absolutely crappy. This year, with a grand total of, I think he was like 3-13, which it was the tie for the worst record in the league with Kansas City. Then there is Ed Hodgkiss, a longtime stalwart, one of the, I think if I'm not mistaken, probably one of the, was their only head coach in league history? Let me double check here. He's been with the team since 2002. 57 and 53 record, 1-5 in the playoffs. I think that was death right there. But I don't think what also helped is that he had a 9-7 sandwich, squeezed it between two loaves of 5-11 in 2006 and 2008. So, he started off fantastic. Head coach, I think one of the first head coaches to get was more than 30 wins within his first 3 years or something like that. But him and two other assistants were given the heave-ho because of, 5-11. And it almost made the playoffs. So I won't talk about that. Two that are on the bubble, which we don't know what's going to happen yet. Kevin Porter, we talked about this recently. I in all opinion think there needs to be a change in Kansas City. What's going to happen with Mike New? The team did collapse. The team started off, I think it was 5-2, and then just totally went into the tank. Poor Voodoo. They finally got a half-decent quarterback. Danny Wimpron, first year, throws for over 4,000 yards, 85 touchdowns, and 11 interceptions. And yet, the team just goes into the tank. They started off at 0-1, won their next 5, and then proceeded to lose 6 of the last 7 to end the season. And out of the playoffs. So, his overall record, with the Voodoo, he's 33-32. Should there be a change? Will he be back? Guaranteed he'll be back. Doug Kay, don't know if he'll be back right away. Ed Hodgkiss, yes. I think with a better team, probably could. And one of the biggest surprises that we were talking about in particular was Tim Markham. Word came out from a Storm blog that he's going to be given an extension. Ouch. Now, the Storm have not made the playoffs in the past 2 out of the last 3 years. But yet, yes, I understand it's the winningest coach in league history. Maybe there needs to be a change in Tampa. I will give credit where credit is due. Tim Markham is a great head coach, and he is able to do a lot with what he has. But I just don't know this year in particular. Maybe there just needs to be a change in Tampa Bay. I don't know how you fans feel about that. Yes, 2 wins shy overall of 200 wins. 2 of the last 3 years out of the playoffs. 5-8-06. Improved drastically to 9-7, and then 8-8 this year. Now, this is Markham, who has had 7 10-plus win seasons, but has not had one since 2003 when they won the Arena Bowl. So maybe there needs to be a change. I mean, I think he'll always be with the Storm franchise in some capacity. But maybe, you know, maybe change it up a little bit. But Doug K. Edge Hotchkiss, I'm not surprised about. We have the others, as they said, that we want to... things that we will need to think about in particular. But we will also see as the weeks go on, will there be something... maybe they wanted to get it out of the way. They don't want any negativity for the playoffs and for the Arena Bowl. You know, a ban on all bad news, so to speak. But we'll see as the playoffs continue. As I said, we have playoffs. We have some various. I said it's also going to be a plethora, as I said, of it's going to be a stat overload. But before we continue, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. You're currently listening to AFL Tonight.
When you're watching the AFL, ever wish you could do the play-by-play? Now's your chance, thanks to official arena football sponsor Russell. The world-renowned supplier of sports apparel wants to pass you the mic and hear what you've got. The winning call gets a trip and VIP passes to Arena Bowl 22. Plus, there's a bunch of other prizes like signed footballs and amazing Russell stuff. Look for the Russell display in your favorite sporting goods store, then go to RussellPassTheMic.com to play. Listen to some calls, then record yours. That's RussellPassTheMic.com. Check it out.
And it's funny, as soon as we go to the ad, the producer came on air and told me that, well, you don't really need to promote it anymore because it looks like they have decided on who the winners are going to be. So, you could have gone over there to make your choices and whatnot, but by looks of things, you just can't go over there anymore. So, yeah, anyways. Great sponsor for the year, though, for us here at ArenaFan.com, I will admit. Be nice if we can get a big one for next year, too. But before we talk about the playoffs in particular, a couple unique things. Okay. We had three quarterbacks last year who had... I think it was three quarterbacks who had... 100... passing touchdowns for the year. And this year alone, we had a grand total of one. We actually got one. Oh my word. So, I was going to have to say zero. But nowhere near the numbers that Chris Greisen put out last year. So we had three last year, we had one this year. So it does continue. So Mark Grebe now becomes the... let me see here. Garcia's done it twice. Grebe has done it twice. Dozell has done it twice. But he has... next to Dozell and... so that's it, I think. Dozell and Mark Grebe are the only two quarterbacks in league history to post back... to back 100 touchdown passing seasons. We were very close. Greisen did come close. Jermaine came close. John Dutton came close. What is funny though, you look at Joe Jermaine. Yes, Utah was, you know, they made the playoffs at, you know, but they also scored 941 points. 6-10, 941 points. They are the second highest scoring under 500 team I mean, that's a lot of points. Grand Rapids did this year, too. I mean, they were 6-10, and they had 952 points. Next to that, Austin last year at 879. So, but we were talking about, you know, scoring and passing. And, you know, last year alone, there was three teams with over that scored over 1,000 points. This year there were none, but yet scoring average was up, as we saw heading into last week with based on our scoring update, our scoring summary. Points against, there was one last year, Grand Rapids, and there's one this year, L.A. I think that's probably one of the things also that led to having a former L.A. head coach Ed Hodges dismissed. Grand Rapids, though, seemed to be on a just a massive scoring streak, though. They scored more than 80 points four times this year. And I think that's one of the reasons why, you know, 320 points right there. At least 80 points. And that's it. 6-10 with 952 total points scored. So for a team to have that many points, have a losing season, but yet still be in the playoffs. Crazy stuff. Crazy stuff. And the other thing that we wanted to talk about in particular was we have not had this type of scoring trio. So we did have another three-headed monster. I'm sure we have not heard that term in quite a few years. The last time it goes back to Georgia. Let me see if I can find out here. I think it was Georgia back in... It wasn't 07. It was close. Very close in 07. I think it was back in 06 the last time that this occurred. No, it wasn't 06 either. Derek Lee, Chris Jackson, Bergeron, I think, was in there somewhere. Was it 05? It's been since 05? I guess we could say 05. Yeah, I think it was 05. Wasn't that as high, though? But either way, this year, Utah had their own three-headed monster, which was Aaron Boone, J.J. McKelvey, and Huey Whittaker. They actually became the first trio of teammates in professional football history to finish the season with 1,500-plus yards receiving, 100-plus receptions, and 20-plus touchdowns. Whittaker also tied the AFL record for most receptions in a single game with 20 on April 25th. That's crazy. You know, the CFL has done it a few times where you've had four receivers with more than 1,000 yards each. But to have them all over 1,500 yards, over 120 receptions each, and over 20 touchdowns each is just absolutely so many. You know, there's so many different records that were set forth this year, and it just Steve Norrell and Orange Samuels and Clint Dozell. You know, Clint Dozell this year passed the 900 to became the first quarterback within the 900 club. You know, he could reach 1,000 next year. He could reach 1,000 career passing touchdowns next year, which is that it's just crazy. Because with this year, let me see here. Dozell had 66. Ooh, well, remember he was hurt. So 66 touchdowns. At 66, he wouldn't make it. He'd be three short. It's going to be a big wrap-up. I wouldn't be surprised. Nearest is Aaron Garcia at 880, so he'll be the next to 900. Shedrick Bonner, I don't know what's going to happen with Shedrick Bonner. But it's playoff time, it's playoff time, it's playoff time. That's it. You know, everybody starts at zero, as we said at the beginning of the show. But before we get to our matchups, we want to do a final tally. Scoring. It stayed nominal from last week. Grand total of 899 points scored. Average of 112.4. It was an increase from 2007 to 5.4 points overall for the year. Even though points were down, and remember, it's because there were two less teams, one less game each week. So there were only 136 games this year compared to 152 last. You know, just a shade less than 15,000 points were scored on the regular season. Grand total of 110.2 points were scored for the very first season in league history to have over 110 points scored per game. And at the end of the year, it was an increase of only 2.3 points. So, as I was saying at the beginning of the year, with these rule changes, there was some increase, it made no difference, but yet this is this time the league will say, well, it was less than 3 points a game, so it must have made a difference. So, whatever. Either way, scoring is up. Let's see which rule the league tries to bring into effect this year, in 2009. To make any big of a difference. I don't think it's going to make a big change, but as said. And finally, pick 'em. This is the year of the double eights. I myself finished a distant fourth out of five people. Only thing I was ahead of was the horrible bad Magic 8 Ball. But I finished one game out behind the good Magic 8 Ball. Finished the year in third place at 81 and 55. Finished the second half of the season at 47 and 25, which is better than any humans or other 8 Balls. Ended up 4 games short of first place, but was an improvement. It was actually a decrease of 1 win compared to last year, but yet finished the season. Last year only finished the season 12 games above 500. This year, it was an astounding 26 games above 500. So, 8 Ball's gonna have some work to cut out to be an improvement. Well, yeah, you know, there were, you know, the winners, actually the first place was a tie overall to Adam, which is AFL Guru, and Sidelines, which is JP. And you can actually go through all of the weeks. Double check it out. It is still available on the Arena Fan message boards. And we will continue next year with another new twist. Just also want to mention real quickly that there have been, the consecutive game streak is still continuing. Cy Burley reached 50 games, but you will have to wait until next year to see if he does continue and at least pass Chris Jackson. And there were some more wide receivers added to the list. We were able to add those, I think, late last week. So, interesting. If you have any ideas for how we can improve or tweak the Magic 8 Ball, let us know. You can send us an email, whether it be about that or anything about the show, any ideas or whatnot, head over to the radio show page, click on Contact Us, and you can do so. Or if you want, you can contact me at tim.capper@arenafan.com. As I said, playoffs are upon us. None of the teams have actually met before the playoffs. But either way, some of these games, I'm looking at probably half-half. Some of them are probably going to be just total stinkers. And I think some of them are going to be, could come down to the last play. Let me double check something here. Virgin Mobile, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, it looks like they've totally dropped the Mitsubishi thing here. Russell Athletic Arena Football. Drive to Virgin Mobile. Arena Bowl 22. Blah, blah, blah. Anyways. First game does start on Friday, June 27th. All the games will either be on ESPN or ESPN2. They will all be on ESPN 360. New York and Dallas. Never been in the playoffs. Dallas overall is 9-3. Lifetime versus the Dragons. But Dallas has also won the last six. They swept the season series for the past 3 years. Dallas, both teams are a little bit banged up, but I would probably say that Dallas has the upper hand. But the problem is, with Dozell only having one playoff win with Dallas since he's been there, doesn't bode too well. And the most wins came when he was with Grand Rapids. Second game on Saturday, weird time of 4 p.m. It is Colorado at Utah, the game between two underachieving, under 500 teams. Neither of these teams have met in the playoffs, but Utah is overall 3-0 lifetime versus Colorado. This is one of the games I think that are probably going to be one of the closer games of the weekend. Thirdly, Monday, doubleheader. You have the very, very improved Cleveland Gladiators playing Orlando. Neither team, as I said, have met before in the playoffs. Cleveland leaves the overall series 1-0 as the Cleveland Gladiators. And I think this game is probably going to be... I actually think that this game itself could be a blowout game. And I am actually thinking in favor of Cleveland. Remember, we have instant replay starting this week, and I think Coach Gruden is probably going to be the head coach that is going to make sure that he uses all of them. I would not be surprised if Coach Gruden uses will use one within the first half. Guaranteed. Guaranteed Coach Gruden will use a replay within the first half. Last game is going to be the Grand Rapids at Arizona. Arizona leads all time 5-2. Arizona's won the last 4 out of the last 5. And this game I don't think is going to be close at all. It's just back and forth. I think it just depends on what team is actually going to show up. Which Grand Rapids team? Is this going to be the team that has scored 80 points or more? 4 times this year. Arizona, Cy Burley. That's all you gotta say. That's what has to happen in order for Arizona to win. But there are some great matchups, though, on the schedule. And I think that that's what is going to be the most fun part. Anything can happen. Anything can happen within the playoffs. And I think that's specifically what we're going to be hoping to see, some great action. Whether you're watching it on TV, there in person, or stuck, yes, stuck listening to it on the internet, because there is no playoff coverage in Canada.
And that, people, is what grinds my gears. Tom?
Oh, well, thank you very much. But either way, it's the postseason. Anything can happen, and as is shown specifically when we saw what happened last year with Columbus, but we will have to take it as we go. Who knows? Oh. Games will start, as I said, on Friday night. After this week, won't be just one of them that's going to be biting the dust. It's going to be four teams, but yet moving on to the next round. Either way, so want to thank you for joining us this week here on our first playoff edition of the 2008 season of AFL Tonight. I am Tim Capper. Enjoy the games. Watch the rebounds off the net. Are you hanging on the edge of your seat? Out of the doorway, the bullets rip to the sound of the beat, yeah. Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust. And another one gone, and another one gone. Another one bites the dust, hey. Hey, we're gonna get you too. Another one bites the dust.
ArenaFan.com, the internet's complete arena football resource.
Mission Control, 2049er, transmission concluded.